Fantastic. Well, you can grab a seat right where you're at. So good to see you all tonight. Thank you for having me. Brad's introduced my church in Adelaide and passed that along with my wife Sharon. And we've got two awesome children, Georgia, who's 19, and Zach, who's 15. And so it's really cool to be here, though, with you, isn't it? So what I want to say, though, is I know exactly how many years it is. It was the year 2000 and that we met Pastor Brad and Allison, and there's something that Brad wouldn't tell you because he's a humble man, and so Pastor Brad and Allison wouldn't tell you this, but I, and this is serious, I've said this privately, and now I want to be able to declare it publicly, that Pastor Brad and Allison hold a special part in my heart, and you don't always get an opportunity to always tell people that, but I've had the opportunity to tell Brad that, and it's significant to me. Because in the year 2000, it was actually Pastors Brad and Allison who saw something in my life and in Sharon's life, and actually were the ones that released us into full-time ministry as youth pastors back in the year 2000. So this is what I want to say about Brad and Allison. We're going to honour them in a minute. Is that what I know about them is they are people who equip and empower. You know, sometimes we use the word release, and I don't like that word because it implies that we've got a hold of someone. But I love that Pastor Brad and Pastor Allison, they see the God potential in people. They do everything they can to speak into that, to equip it, and then to empower it. And I just want to thank you guys now publicly in your home church for what you did in seeing something in a naughty Josh Brett and believing in me and giving me a go. So let's honour your pastors tonight, Pastor Brad and Allison. It's good. Hey, there's I don't know if you've ever been to America, and they have some really cool things over there. They have some other funny things. Where's our technical man? Are we good? We good? You know where we're heading with this? Yeah! No, not that one! That's the last one. Let's go to the first one. There we go. They have funny signs in America, don't they? Like on their churches. And look at that one. Keep using my name in vain, and I'll make rush hour longer. Signed by God. That's pretty cool. What's next? If your life stinks, we have a pew for you. This is great. God, make me the person my dog thinks I am. That's brilliant. Next. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him. That's good. That's good. Whoever stole our air conditioning units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. That's gold. Do you know what hell is? Come here, our preacher. Now the one. Here it is. It's only a week old. This must have only just gone up in the last week because this is the first Sunday that us preachers can use Pokemon Go in our jokes. Pokemon Go stops here. Come by and let God take a Pikachu. Hey, do you know that when I landed at the airport today, I came across a whole lot of people. Who's doing Pokemon Go? Come on, be honest. In my church this morning, I did a survey. The oldest person in our church who admitted to Pokemon going was 46 years of age. And so I don't know if anyone can beat that, but we won't go there now. But when I arrived at the airport, it's happening everywhere, right? Happened at the shopping centre. Look what I saw at the airport. All these people Pokemon going. Do you know what I know? Here they are. Yes. That's brilliant. So there you go. Come on, give me a round of applause for a little bit of humour. it's funny. That's what it looks like anyway. Tonight I want to share with the time that we've got. I want to share a message with you and stir something in your hearts. And if you take notes, it's called Just Stand. Okay, but don't stay sitting, but just stand is the title. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. And I'm going to power through this and get my point across. Hey, I'm going to make it really easy for you tonight. This is a one-point message, all right? So who wants to know what the point is? The point is, ready for it? Just stand. So write it down and your notes are done. All right, here we go. Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Very quickly, we go over to 1 Corinthians 16. Let's flick over there. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14, and it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that it's alive, it's real, it's powerful. God, it changes lives, it changes hearts, it transforms futures. It gives hope where there is no hope. It gives joy where there's mourning. Lord, it gives life where there's death. And we pray tonight that you would speak life through your word to us in Jesus' name. You know, in Scripture, whenever you come across a passage where it starts with therefore, I'm not being cute tonight, but you do need to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? And it does actually have meaning, because when it says therefore, it means we need to understand what led up to that point. Okay, what led up to that point. And so we need to understand that it's not just about Philippians chapter 4 here, but we're actually looking at Philippians 1, 2, and 3. And we're understanding a bit of a theme of what was being written here. And so the therefore refers to the previous writings. It allows us to continue a thought that we've been mulling over, reading over in the previous chapters. It also can give us a setup too and a foundation for what comes next as well. But the encouragement we get here in Philippians chapter 4, 1 is this. It says to stand firm in the Lord. All right? And for us, it's a rounding off of the previous section of the letter. All right? But it also, as I said, is a foundation for what God wants to do into our future. And so if you look back very quickly at what's been happening throughout the book of Philippians, it's a personal letter from Paul. He's writing it to the Philippian church. And he's talking about things like this, having no confidence in the flesh. All right, you go through there, it talks about it. In chapter 3, he talks about, you know, not putting your hope and your trust and your faith, not standing upon what you know, but putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Not putting your confidence in your own ability. Not putting your confidence in your own philosophy. Not putting your confidence in the greater opinion of humanity, but putting your trust, your faith, your all in Jesus Christ. He also talks to us about following his example. If you go back through Philippians, the themes are incredible. In Philippians 1, he's talking to us about living a life that's what? Worthy of the gospel. Right? He talks about thanksgiving and prayer. He talks in Philippians 2 about us imitating Christ, putting on the humility of Christ, living lives that are humble, doing everything without grumbling. Ooh. That even includes getting up on Monday morning. To do everything without grumbling. And so we see so many powerful themes here. And Paul's writing this letter, and it's a letter of encouragement to us. It's a letter of to alert us to some things and to make sure that we're ready and to make sure that we understand what it is that God's done, but what it is that God wants to do. And he's saying here to the Philippians, to the Christians, the followers of Christ at Philippi, he's saying, hey, come on, keep pushing through. Don't grow tired and weary. Don't lose heart. Don't lose sight of your faith. Don't put your trust in the things of man, but put your trust in God. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, and don't allow your eyes to be drawn to anything else. And so the Philippians here are being encouraged what? To stand firm, but in union with the Lord. He doesn't say just stand. He says stand firm, what? In the Lord. It's a union. It's the two of us. We're in this together. Stand firm in the Lord. Don't just stand, well, I'm standing firm. No, are you standing firm in the Lord? Are you holding on? Is your focus on the things of heaven? Is your focus on the Word of God? Is our focus on Jesus? Now, I don't know about you, but, and I know I've given you a very, very Sunday night fast forward overview of Philippians, but when I read this text and I read what Paul's saying to us right here at the start about standing firm, I think this text really speaks to us right now in our culture. It really does. All right, it spoke to the culture of the Philippian church and where they were at right then. But you know what? This is the thing about the Word of God. It's timeless. God is the same God, right? He's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. And what he was speaking to them there, he's speaking to us here. And right now, there's some stuff going on in our culture, isn't there? There's some stuff going on, right? Marriage equality. It's pretty much a daily thing now to wake up and see some sort of incredible, crazy, unimaginable horror around the world. You know, we've got the refugee crisis, we've got cross-cultural relations, we've got issues to do with religious freedom, we've got issues with freedom of speech, with minority groups, with the whole thing of safer schools. The whole thing about our culture in Australia is it's being challenged. our culture as Christians has been challenged, isn't it? And there's a lot for us to think about. There's a lot for us to understand. There's also a lot that we need to be a little bit careful of. And I don't know about you, but as Christians, I'm sure that at times it concerns you. That the culture of the day concerns you, I'm sure it does. And I don't know about you, it challenges me and it challenges who I am in God and it challenges who I am as a pastor and it challenges my belief and it challenges my foundation. And you know what? Not all challenges are bad. Some challenges are really good because what it does is it causes you to really know where your feet are planted. And we're being, you know, our nation might be getting challenged, but I think it's a great time for our nation. I think it's a great time for the Christian believers in our nation, because what it's going to do is it's going to shore up where our feet are. All right? It's going to shore it up. It's going to, what's your fallback? What's your go-to? You know, in my life, whenever I've pursued God, there's always been a challenge. Whenever I've pursued God, Brad said it, there's been valleys. And praise God for the valleys, because you know what? It's the valleys and it's the challenges of life and it's the challenges that you face that will prove to do one thing, to reveal where your feet are planted. And Paul's saying to us here, stand firm. I don't know about you, but that just prepares me to say, you know what? Some stuff's going to challenge you. You know, tonight, I don't want to speak into the issues of culture. I don't want to try and answer them because I can't and I couldn't and I won't. But what I do want to talk tonight is I want to talk about the posture of a follower of Christ. I want to talk about who we are in Jesus. I want to talk about how we respond to the external challenges of life, but also how we respond to the internal. Because the challenges we face are not just those things in culture that I've spoken about. The challenges we face are internal as well. Insecurity, inferiority, mental health, image, career, relationships, finances. Not all the challenges that we're facing are external. There's those everyday challenges we face that challenge us internally. And so there's a personal challenge, there's an external challenge. And I don't want to speak to those particular issues. What I want to speak to is, what is your response to? What is your position and your posture? All right? So let's do that tonight. So it says here in Philippians 4, Paul really speaks to us about our posture. He lays it out really clear to us and he says there is a posture. If you're going to follow after Jesus Christ, if you're going to make it, if you are going to live out the plan, the purpose and the promises of God, there is a posture. And he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I what? Love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. You know that statement, stand firm, translates literally to be stationary. To be now, you need to hold that thought because it's going to mean something in a moment, all right? Because when he says stand firm, he's saying fix your feet, plant your feet, be stationary, hold your ground, hold your ground. Now, I want to show you something here about standing firm that maybe you haven't seen before, maybe you haven't thought about. And as I said earlier, this is a one-point message, so it's going to be really easy. So let me unpack it, let me build it. But right at numerous times, not just in Philippians, but right throughout Paul's writings, there's a number of times where he talks about the practical outcome of a Christian's warfare against the world and against the enemy. And he describes it as a matter of standing, or he defines it. So he talks about the battle, he talks about warfare as a Christian, and numerous times, Paul actually refers to it as a matter of standing. Now, what you might go, well, that's great, Josh, fantastic, thanks for letting us know. What's really interesting about it, though, is that this whole understanding is more remarkable, because this whole thing of warfare, this whole thing of fighting the good fight that he talks about, and we're going to have a look at Ephesians in a moment where he talks about putting on the full armor of God, it's a military metaphor. And you and I, the moment we think of a battle, the moment we think of something that's military, we think about fighting. We think about advancing. But what Paul's saying to us here is, he goes, you know, that's not the picture I've got for you. That's not what I'm trying to, I'm actually telling you to be stationary. I'm actually saying you need to stand firm. And so he's giving us a picture in battle. He's giving us a picture when things are challenging us of not going out and swinging our axe and fighting and getting on the front foot. But he's actually saying, you know what, Christian? It's a matter of standing. It's a matter of standing. It's a matter of standing. And it's foreign to us, isn't it? I don't know about you. The moment I think of warfare, I think of battle. The moment I hit, let's go there, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your advance. No. Come on. Doesn't say that. Put on the moment you think armor, you're like, you beauty, I'm going to go out and I'm going to beat up on some people. I'm going to go out, and man, and I'm going to make the devil pay, and I'm going to kick him with a, you know. That's what we think, because that's our humanistic view, our humanity's view of battle and putting on armor. You don't put on armor to stand there. You put on armor to go and beat someone up and make sure that I don't get beat up in the process. But he's saying to us here, it's the same writer in Ephesians saying, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can stand. So that you can stand. What? Against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to run. No, stand. Stand. Stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then. You see, if we were writing the passage and we were using Paul's image, like I said, we would be talking about invading, we'd be talking about marching, we'd be talking about conquest, we'd be beating our chest and going, oh, come on. We'd be doing a bit of Braveheart. But Paul doesn't do that. He makes it really simple for us. He says, come on, of everything I've written, of everything I've encouraged you with all that's going on, just understand this, it's a matter of standing. You need to understand that here in Philippians, they were being challenged externally with all sorts of things were coming at them in their culture. You need to understand that, right? But also, he was also speaking that even within the church, to guard, to stand against false doctrine and heresy. Right? There was two aspects to this. So when Paul's saying, you know what, stand firm, he's going, you know what, there's stuff coming from outside to persecute you. But he says, understand this too, though, there's going to be things that come up from within that are going to be against what the Bible, what Jesus teaches, and you need to stand firm and you need to be on guard. Isn't that important for us today? You see, this whole thing of standing firm is not just about what's happening around us, but it's about what's happening in us. You've got to stand firm. Paul's saying, you've got to stand firm. He doesn't tell us, God here doesn't say march into battle or to conquer. He tells us to stand. Through Paul, he says, come on, stand. And the implication of that command is this. Catch this. It's really simple, but you need to catch it. This is the implication of what's being said. The reason Paul's telling us to stand is this. The command is that God has already done or is already doing the conquering. We are not the ones to go and conquer. We've just got to hold on to the thing that he's conquered for us. I don't know about you. That should get you exciting. That's a game changer because as Christians, I think we waste a lot of energy running around, chasing stuff, looking for, you know, jumping at shadows. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You chose it. Sorry. Here's the thing. This position and this posture of standing is a revelation to your heart when you understand, you know what? God has already done the conquering. It's not my job to go and fight God's battles for him. It's my job to stand firm and hold on to the promises of God and not let him go. To hold on to the promises of God and not let him go. And so this gives us the difference between the difference here between marching and standing gives us an important difference between offensive warfare and defensive warfare. Watchman Nee, the Chinese evangelist, said when he was unpacking this passage, listen to what he says in Ephesians, he unpacks it. He says, the difference between defensive and offensive warfare is this, that in the former, I have got the ground and only seek to keep it. Whereas in the latter, I have not got the ground and I'm fighting in order to get it. Are you with me? What he's saying is that when I'm on the offensive, I'm always trying to go after something I haven't got. But he says that when you understand the defensive position as a Christian, when you understand what it is to stand firm, you understand that, you know what? I'm holding on to that which God has already done for me. I'm holding on to that which God has already achieved for me. I'm holding on to the things that God has already promised me. I'm not chasing after things. I'm holding on to what God has already established. And so those words are also true here when we look at Philippians. Because when Paul writes this again in the fourth chapter, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and I long for, stand firm. What he's doing is he's pointing back to the statements of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's going back to what Jesus Christ has already done for us in chapter 3. And in chapter 3 in verse 10, it says, it's talking about no confidence in the flesh. But whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, whose sake I lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. You see, when he's talking about standing firm here, he's pointing back to Philippians chapter 3 and saying, do you not understand what has already been done for you? What Jesus Christ accomplished for you at the cross. Now, there's a really important footnote here, and Pastor Brad and Allison will appreciate me raising this. It's sometimes when we hear a message like this, we go, cool, I don't have to do anything. I'll just stand. No, Pastor Josh, when he was here, he said, just stand. good try. Standing on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and standing on his promises doesn't mean that there won't be things for us to do. Doesn't mean that there's not work for us to do. Doesn't mean that we're just standing there and we clock out and we check out. There will always be testing. There'll always be strenuous activity. It doesn't mean escape, but it does mean that even in the activity and even in the testing, there's an overriding confidence that we have in God and in his promises. We understand that it's not by our works, it's not by our great efforts, but it's by his grace. It's by his grace. Okay, I'm going to bring this home by jumping over to one other scripture, my most favorite of all time, 2 Samuel 23. Why don't you go there with me? If you need any more convincing that this is a word that God wants us to grab, let's have a look at what happens here in 2 Samuel 23. There's three guys talked about here, and they're known as David's mighty warriors. I don't know too many times that guys in Scripture get called mighty, but here's three. And I want to focus on the second guy. The second guy in verse 11, his name is Shammah. Now, to you, you go, that's cool, that's his name, Shammah. This is really interesting for me to preach because I grew up with a toy poodle. My mum had a toy poodle, and it was champagne in colour. So my mum decided to call it Shammah. So whenever I preach from this text, all I can think about is this toy poodle that I grew up all my life. The poodle was... I love that poodle. Anyway, so Shammah to you is just, yeah, it's a person in the Bible. Shammah to me is a poodle, and so let's go there. Says this about Shammah, right? It's talking about him as a mighty man of God. So we go through the first guy, verse 11. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. Verse 12, here we go. But Shammah took his stand. Took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and he struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Hang on, Shammah did what? What did he do? Stand. Come on, Shy Live, what did Shammah do? Stand. What did he do? Stand. He stood in a lentil patch. Now you might look at that and you go, man, that guy got the short straw. Of all the things that God could give you to do, he got put in the middle of a lentil patch. So you need to understand the context here. you need to understand the context here is this. Back in that time, all the food was being taken from them. It was being raided. And so it was of prime importance that someone defended their ability to feed their families. So we go, oh, lentil patch, insignificant. No, significant. This is the difference between eating and not eating. And so right here, Shammah gets given something that you and I might look at as insignificant. But you know what? When it comes to the kingdom, it's significant. This is what it teaches me. You know what? Sometimes we have things in our lives that we think are insignificant. Other people might even look at it and go, you've got a lentil patch. Lentil patch. Here's the thing. Do not despise the things that you may think or others may think it insignificant. Because I tell you this, Shammah's valiant stand proved to be the turning point from a defeat to a victory. And I tell you, we just need to understand that from seemingly insignificant things, God can do incredibly significant things. And so never look at what you have or what you don't have, but just understand that God's given you something. He's given you something. He's put something in your hand, and it's not for us to measure whether it's significant or insignificant. It's not what he's asking us to do. What he's asking us to do is he's going, will you be faithful? Will you stand? Will you hold your ground? That when you're challenged, when people tell you, why do you believe in Jesus? When you're at uni and everyone says you're crazy, why do you even believe in what the Bible says? That you go, you know what? It might be insignificant to you, but it's my lentil patch and I'm defending it and I'm standing and I'm holding my ground. Shammah defended a seemingly insignificant patch of lentils. And what does God do with him? Makes him mighty. Makes him mighty. But you need to pick up something here. Shammah didn't take his stand down the back. Well, I'm a bit embarrassed about this lentil patch, but I'll hang around, I'll do what I can. He wasn't found out to the side in insignificance. I think it's really important here we understand something, that God's not calling you to hang out at the back or to get caught off onto the side. He's saying, you know what? Challenge is going to come. Challenges come to our faith. Challenges come to our life. Challenges are going to come to your marriage. Challenges are going to come to your kids, to your parenting, to your work, to your finances. Life is going to throw up challenges, but where are you going to position yourself? What will be your fallback? Where are you going to stand? Are you going to be found hiding out the back? Are we going to be found off to the side, ready to run? Or are we going to be found right in the middle, right in the dead center of that thing and hold our ground? So here's the encouragement tonight. Just stand. Just stand. That word stand literally means to be immovable and to be unshakable. Immovable, unshakable. So here's the thing. When you're feeling discouraged, ever been discouraged? I have. When you're feeling intimidated, maybe right now as I speak to you and you're hearing these words tonight, the challenges that I've mentioned, you go, yeah, Josh, I'm being challenged right now. Maybe you've got a challenge in a relationship. Maybe it's in your marriage right now. Maybe it's at work or school or uni, whatever it is. Maybe it's with your parents, maybe it's with whatever it is, there's a relationship and you go, you know what, I'm being challenged right now. Maybe for you, the challenge that you're facing right now is a financial one, and work's cutting back, you're fearful of your future and you go, you know what, Josh, I'm challenged. Maybe tonight it's in your health. Maybe even tonight, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, maybe even tonight, you've been challenged in your faith to go, you know what, do I believe this? Because all my friends outside of here, they're saying stuff and I'm confused, I don't know. And you're feeling challenged, maybe even in your faith tonight. This is my encouragement for you. Maybe just to take a little bit of pressure off. Let's go back to that offensive and that defensive position. Maybe right now, the greatest thing you can be doing is not running around trying to fix everything and try to solve everything, but maybe you just got to find yourself right in the middle of your lentil patch and just determine one thing and one thing only. I may not have the answers to this, 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 and this, but one thing I will answer is this. I'm going to answer the question of posture. Right? I'm going to answer the question of posture and I'm going to decide and choose to stand and I am not going to deviate and I'm going to be immovable. Now, I am someone of fairly substantial immovability. Pastor Brad is built for speed, I'm built for comfort. And you know what? If I determine that I don't want to be moved, I remember at youth camp once, 8 guys tried to pick me up and throw me in the pool. I determined that that was not happening and I became a dead weight. They could not get me off the ground. You know what? That picture, there are people who, there are things in your life that are challenging you to get off track. And just like that, you need to actually just go, you know what? I got nothing to say, but I got lots to do. And I'm just going to, my life now is a dead weight and you are not moving me. Yeah. I'm not moving. I'm immovable. So here's the thing. Stand. You don't need to fight. There are times to fight and there are things that we should fight for. We fight for our family. We fight for those that we fight for. But you know what? There is also, don't misunderstand me, there is a time to fight, but there's also a time to stand and to hold. And you know all those things that you can't answer? I think that's the whole point. God's going, you know what? I don't need you to, don't worry about all these things. Just worry about your posture. Make a decision on your posture, because that's what Shammah did. He chose to stand in the middle of the field. He defended it. He did not go on the offensive. He defended it. Then what does it say? The last part of that verse. And Shammah brought about a great victory. Is that what it says? And the Lord brought about a great victory. So maybe the worship musical people can join me. You know what that says to me? And I'm a simple guy. But this is what it says to me. There are times in my life when I just need to understand my posture is one that just needs to hold on, to hang in, to stand firm, to be immovable. And understand that, you know, all those questions, all those challenges, all those things that are out there and in there that I'm struggling with, I actually don't have to go about trying to get answers to all them, because God says, you know what, I want to be the answer. But what I need you to do is I need you to just to get your feet firmly planted. Get your feet firmly planted, Josh, and hang on, and then let me take care of that and that and that and that and that and that. Because that's what I see here. Do you see that? Stand firm. See, there's a difference between fighting and standing, and it's this simple. When we fight, it's our strength. And we often do that, don't we? We take matter into our own hands. You know, and if God's called us to stand, and understand the context, when God's saying to us and he's speaking to us, he says, you know what, I just want you to take your stand. But then we do the opposite and we start to get out there and try to make things happen and fight. We take matters into our own hands, and all that'll do is wear you out. All it'll do is wear you out. But when God says, you know what, I want you to stand and hold on and just be firm in me and understand what I've done for you, there's a strength that we begin to operate in, and it's called God's strength. We stop operating in our own strength. And the moment we go, okay, God, I get it, just like Shammah, we begin to move into a supernatural strength and we move into God's strength. Who knows that when you stand for any length of time, your legs get tired. You can get a little bit weary. You can get a little bit uncomfortable. But here's the thing. When we're obedient to the word of God and we're obedient to God saying, you know what? When you're feeling challenged, when you feel like you don't have all the answers, when you feel like life's got on top of you, and God says, you know what? I just want you to stand, just hold your ground, hang in there. We need to understand that he gives us that declaration, but he also gives us the promise of his strength. You can stand. You can do it. You can do it because you're now operating in God's strength. You're not operating in your own.